Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Go Bears! What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Friday, November 28th. Welcome to the best time of the year. Christmas season has begun. And this is, of course, your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, I am pumped that it is the Christmas season. I say this all the time in the years I've been lucky enough, and I'm thankful I get to do this pod, especially with our good buddy James. But it's always the best time of the year when this time begins. I hope everybody had an unbelievable Thanksgiving. I hope you guys enjoyed it, had some good food, some good time with your family. But now it is the real time. Christmas music, Christmas trees, holiday music, holiday everything. Congratulations on making it. I hope you all start to watch some great holiday movies over the next month. But speaking of treats and speaking of things we can enjoy, the Eagles have a big game this weekend against Baltimore. And this is your daily Go Birds pod. So let's get into what to expect today. So today, Friday, Nick Sirianni is going to be speaking to the media at 1 o'clock. We'll hopefully get some updates on the injured Eagles players, see if Devontae is going to play, all those good things. 1:50, practice begins, get a chance to see if Devontae is out there and just, you know, how he's doing. And then at 3 o'clock, the open locker room. So if you notice a bit of a late start, I'd imagine Nick giving the players some time on Friday morning after Thanksgiving to sleep in, maybe spend a little more time with their family, and then get to work for what is really a big game. So today we are going to do something a little bit different. Did this last week for the Rams, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed taking time really focusing on the team itself. You know me, I love the roller coaster of the season. I love the roller coaster of the day-to-day stuff, you know, Nick Sirianni extension, Saquon MVP, all those fun things. But it is fun also just to dive into the game and talk about the game. So today is going to be a real deep dive into the Baltimore Ravens, along with five keys for the Eagles to win the game. So let's jump right into it. So the Baltimore Ravens sitting at 8-4, second in the NFC North, the Steelers in first place at 8-3. The Ravens have been interesting because they lost to both the Raiders and the Browns. Obviously, bad losses. The Raiders and Browns are two of the worst teams in the league. Now, they did play the Browns in Jameis Winston's first start, so that's like a bit tougher of a game just because of the backup, you know, jump most teams get. But Raiders and Browns, not good losses at all. And then they lost to the Chiefs and the Steelers. Acceptable losses in that those are both great teams. But that Steelers loss is a big one. And, you know, this is a potential Super Bowl preview, this game, but that Steelers-Eagles game, also a potential Super Bowl preview. So very excited for that game as well. Let's dive into the offensive side of the ball. So it's probably not a shock that the Ravens have one of the best offenses in the league, but I do think it's interesting that they do when you consider that, like, they have good receivers. I'm not going to, you know, say that Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, our old buddy Nelson Aguilar, like, they're certainly not bad receivers, but they don't have the receivers that Joe Burrow has or that AJ Brown has or the Dolphins receivers or a Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison, anything like that. They have good receivers. They don't have the stud receivers. So how do they move the ball on offense? Well, it's no secret. They run it all the time. They are third in the league in rushing attempts. They are number one in net yards attempt rushing the ball. So they have arguably the best rushing offense in the entire NFL. And again, not surprising when you have Lamar Jackson, a quarterback, Derrick Henry at running back, you are clearly going to be able to move the ball. So the Ravens offense in a lot of ways reminds me of the Eagles offense. They run the ball a ton and they take shots down the field. And, you know, obviously we talk a lot about the Eagles offense and is it sustainable? Are they going to be able to do that? And I think those same questions are there with the Ravens offense. Now, the Ravens, despite, you know, using a formula that is a bit hit or miss passing the ball, they are second in points per game. They're second in points per drive. They're second in first down. They're first in yards per drive. So they move the ball, regardless of how they're doing it, at a very effective rate. I also think a difference between the Ravens and the Eagles is that while the Ravens are 28th in passing attempts, like just like the Eagles, they're down there at the bottom of the league, the Ravens are first in net yards attempt passing the ball. So they have a ton of success when they pass the ball. And the reason for that, And the reason for that is because they throw the ball down the field a ton. They are third in the league in pass attempts over 20 yards. And when they have thrown it down the field, they've had success. 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So the Ravens on offense, again, like to do what the Eagles do. They run the ball, they take shots down the field. The Eagles, they run the ball with Saquon, and then they take shots down the field to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So 28th in passing attempts are the Ravens, but first in net yards attempt passing. Now, one of the reasons I think that matches up actually kind of well for the Eagles is that I don't think the Ravens receivers will be able to beat the Eagles corners down the field consistently. So Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman are their top two receivers. Zay Flowers, 57 catches, 589 yards, 4 touchdowns. Rashad Bateman, 35 catches, 5 touchdowns. Anything's possible. I'd be surprised if Darius Slay plays in this game. But I really do think Quinyon and, you know, Isaiah Rodgers wasn't great last week, but there's just such a huge difference between being the guy off the bench in the middle of a game and getting all week, all the reps, being like very comfortable with the idea that you're starting, getting the reps at the type of plays they want to run. And I know Isaiah gets those during the week with the second team, but it's just not the same as getting with the starters and the guys you're going to be out there. So I expect a better game from Isaiah Rodgers this week. In addition to that, Eagles have good safety. C.J. Gardner-Johnson has played, I think, better than I expected this year. Still in coverage, sometimes not great, a little bit out of position, but he's really good against the run. And then obviously, Reed Blankenship has shown in coverage he's good, but also he's very capable of jumping a pass and making a play. So if the Ravens' plan is to take deep shots down the field against the Eagles, I don't think that's going to work. We've seen Quinyon be excellent in down the field coverage this season. And, you know, obviously, again, we'll see how Isaiah Rodgers plays, but I think he'll be better than he was last week. I saw Isaiah Rodgers in training camp make a lot of really good plays against passes down the field. So I don't think the Ravens will have success moving the ball down the field against the Eagles. And that, of course, brings it to the running backs. Derrick Henry, you know, there's been debate all year who's having a better year, who should win Offensive Player of the Year between Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. Let's compare their numbers right here. Derrick Henry on the season, 1,421 total yards. That is behind Saquon, who has 1,649. Derrick Henry, 15 total touchdowns. Saquon up to 12, and of course, hasn't gotten the goal line carries that Derrick Henry would. Otherwise, Saquon could very easily be at 20 touchdowns so far this season. Yards per touch, Derrick Henry is 6.2, Saquon 6.6, and then fumbles, 3 for Derrick Henry, just 1 for Saquon. But of course, that fumble deserves an asterisk next to it, as there was not really a fumble. As we remember, we all saw that game against Jacksonville. It should not be ruled a fumble. So Saquon has been outstanding taking care of the ball this year, and Derrick Henry has too. For the amount of touches he gets to have 3 fumbles, it is pretty good. So on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to give it to Derrick Henry a ton. As I mentioned, number one in the league in net yards attempt rushing the ball. And to me, this is a big Jordan Davis game. We'll get into that with our 5 key matchups, but you know, like, this is it. Like, this is where if you're going to be a first round pick and be worth it, step up and be the reason Derrick Henry's not able to run the ball. The last time Derrick Henry played the Eagles, he was terrible. I don't think he had a run over 5 yards, if I'm not mistaken. He certainly didn't have any type of long run over 10 yards, and they completely shut him down in that game against the Titans. Now, very different defense, very different defensive line, defensive coordinator, all those things are true, but he hasn't had success against the Eagles, at least last time he played. So we'll see if they're able to shut down Derrick Henry. I think they'll be able to. Like, I do think they have a front seven that is set up well to do it. Nakobe certainly doesn't have any type of size advantage over Derrick Henry, but Nakobe is better against the run than he is against the pass. I think Zach Bond's been really good against the run this year. CJ GJ has been good shooting the gap and making plays when he's had the chance. And, you know, losing Brandon Graham hurts. Brandon Graham is great against the run, but if you're going to put in more of a run first, like, unit, then I think the Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, like those guys are better against the run. And so I think it actually sets up well for the Eagles front line as to why, as to their ability to stop the run. Now, another component of stopping the pass is going to be getting pressure on Lamar Jackson. Of course, containing him is a big part of it. It'll be interesting to see if the Eagles use a spy. Zach Bond, I think, has the body type and athleticism to be a spy. It's hard for anybody to spy on Lamar. He's probably the most athletic running quarterback in the NFL. But I think Zach Bond is set up well to do it if that's who they ask to do it. But the offensive line for the Ravens is pretty good. They're seventh in pass blocking grades according to Pro Football Focus. So overall, they're viewed as a seventh best pass blocking line. They've allowed 96 pressure this season. So that, just so you guys know, that excludes pressures where Lamar's the reason, whether Lamar's holding on to the ball, whether he steps into pressure. So 96 pressures allowed by the offensive linemen who have played. That does sound like a big number, but just to put that in context, that's 12th in the NFL, and the Eagles have allowed more pressures. Eagles offensive linemen have allowed more pressures. Now, of course, it's subjective on, you know, allowing a pressure from Pro Football Focus, but the point here is the Ravens do have a very good offensive line, and the issue they face is a similar issue that the Eagles face in that Lamar holds onto the ball a lot like Jalen Hurts does. Lamar is 27th in the NFL in time to throw, so Lamar will hold onto the ball. He'll stay behind the line. Like, he will extend plays with his legs, but he'll also run into pressure. He'll give up on clean pockets, much like Jalen Hurts does. But overall, the offensive line does a really good job protecting him. The offensive line is responsible for 5 sacks, according to Pro Football Focus. That's the 3rd fewest in the NFL. So in a week where the Eagles pass rush is going to be under the microscope because of the loss of Brandon Graham, this is a game where the pass rush could have struggled regardless. Like, a very good offensive line, a very mobile quarterback, a run first team. It would have been surprising if the Eagles with Brandon Graham brought Lamar down 3-4 times. Now, if they can do it, obviously that would be an outstanding showing, but I would be surprised if that's the case. So why is the Ravens offensive line so good? Well, they have really good players. A left tackle, they have Ronnie Stanley. He's 16th at tackles, according to Pro Football Focus. Probably their best offensive lineman overall. Will be a tough matchup for Josh Sweat, which we'll talk about in the 5 key matchups. Left guard, Patrick McCreary, also very good. Their center, Tyler Lindenbaum, very good. 6th overall center, according to Pro Football Focus. Right guard, Daniel Filelli, he's okay. And then their right tackle, not as good as their left tackle, Roger Rosengarten, he's okay. Again, not as good as Ronnie Stanley. So the right tackle is where you hope this team's able to get some pressure. Nolan Smith, he's been good against the run this year, so he'll be out there. And I think that with the increased kind of skill he's shown rushing the quarterback, Rosengarten is a team that is a tackle, I should say, that he should be able to get some pressure on. So before we move to the defense, I think the overall look of the offense is very good offensive line, very good quarterback, very good running back, but just not really the skill players that I think that the Eagles have. Like, again, Rashad Bateman, they have good tight ends, Mark Andrews, and the backup, Isaiah Likely, are both very good, but I don't think they have the skill players the Eagles do. So if the Eagles can stop the run and force Lamar to throw it more and more and those deep shots aren't there, that's when I think the Eagles can make plays. Make Lamar make intermediate throws, make him throw it 8-9 times a drive. Don't give him those long completions. I think that's the key to slowing down Baltimore's offense. So on the defensive side of the ball, you know, it's funny. You think about Baltimore, and certainly I know this has been the case for me growing up, and you just assume that they have an outstanding defense. Like, that is, it feels like that's the fabric of the Baltimore football club, to borrow a soccer term there, in a way. Like, I think Baltimore is built on defense. Well, that's not really the case this year. Now, they do have a really good defensive front, and that's part of the reason why they're very good against the run. But the back 7, for as good as, like, we view those players, the stats for them are really not that great. So where is Baltimore's defense at? They are certainly not in the top half of the league statistically. They're 23rd in points per game, and that's backed up by also being 23rd in points per drive. So teams are moving the ball on Baltimore's offense. They're getting in the end zone against Baltimore's offense. They're 22nd in yards allowed per drive, so they're consistently giving up long drives. They are not good against the pass. 23rd in net yard attempt passing, which is a key part of this, because they are also first in the league in net yards allowed against the run. So why is that? Well, they have great defensive linemen. Their defensive tackles are outstanding. Ndamdi, I'm not going to be able to do it. I really thought I'd be able to. I was like, Elliot, you're going to nail this pronunciation. I'm not going to. I looked it up, still can't do it. Ndamdi Madubuike is my best attempt. I apologize to him. I'm trying my best. Outstanding player. 41 hits, hurries, and sacks. That's third in the NFL among defensive tackles. So him along with Travis Jones and then Broderick Washington gets out there. They have good defensive tackles. So the key will be for the Eagles, can they run the ball? Now, you look at a defensive line like that and statistics like that, and you think, well, this is going to be a big game for Jalen. But I would caution that because a lot of times the Eagles have played number one rushing defenses and they've obliterated them. Remember in 2020, I think it was, not 2021, in 2020, they played the Saints who had the number one rushing defense at the time and they ran the ball over them. 2022, they played the Packers. I think it was either on Monday or Sunday night. Number one rushing defense at the time. I think they set the franchise record for rushing yards in a game against them. So we have seen that the Eagles are A, not afraid to run against a team that's good at stopping the run, but also they've had success running the ball against teams that are good at stopping the run. So I wouldn't just assume that they're not going to run the ball. I think that they will. They will run the ball with Saquon. It's what they like to do on offense. Their offensive line, I think, can move any defensive line. And obviously with Saquon, you know that they are there, that obviously he's outstanding. I'll also say that you wonder if they go into this game looking to put some separation between Saquon and Derrick Henry. Like, I think this offensive line is very into the idea of being a part of Saquon winning awards, like MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, because they view it as a team award. Like, they view it as an offensive line and a running back award. So I think they'll be excited to run the ball against Baltimore. I think they'll come out, they'll try to do it. I think they will be able to do it. But in a world where they're not, and it does come to throwing the ball, Baltimore has not been good against the pass, as I mentioned. Now, it's a little surprising they're not because they do have some good players. Marlon Humphrey, obviously a very good corner. Nate Wiggins in his rookie year. Yes, I thought Nate Wiggins was the best corner in this draft, but so far, that's very clearly Quinion. So Nate Wiggins has been only okay this year. Now, they added Tre'Davious White. He's only played two games with the team. He hasn't been that good this year overall, but that is a new component to their defense. And then at safety, Kyle Hamilton, or Darius Washington. Kyle Hamilton, we all know, a very good safety. And Washington's pretty good as well. So they actually have good players back there. The stats just haven't backed it up. And I think part of the reason for that is I don't view them as having like a truly elite edge rusher. They get pressure from the middle with their tackles, but they have Osage Owe, 36 hits, hurries, and sacks. That's 25th in the league among edge rushers. And then Kyle Van Noy, 42 hits, hurries, and sacks. That's 11th in the league. So Kyle Van Noy, pretty good player, but I just don't think they have those elite edge rushers that we've seen the Eagles have to deal with over the past few weeks. So I don't think their edges will be able to get pressure on Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata. I think those are matchups that they'll be able to win. And I think getting pressure up the middle is also going to be tough just because of how good the Eagles' defensive line is. So I do think a lack of like an elite edge rusher is probably part of the reason their stats passing the ball aren't great, or sorry, against the pass, is just because I think quarterbacks have a lot of time back there to sit back there and you know, pick the defense apart. So I look at this Ravens defense. I still expect the Eagles to be able to move the ball on the ground, but then the cornerback matchups, assuming no Devontae, they have good corners, but I still think that AJ is able to win a matchup against anybody he goes against. Their linebackers, Roquan Smith, Trenton Simpson, we'll see. I think Goddard can do damage against them as well. So I do give the Eagles the edge offensively. I think they have better players on offense than the Ravens have on defense. So, you know, as I do this, I'm kind of talking myself into an Eagles win, but it's a tough test. Like, there's no getting around it. This Ravens offense in Baltimore in a game they have to have with a team that stops the run, like, this is a legitimate test. I remember when the Eagles played the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry back in 2022. And the talking point for that game was, well, you know, let's see if they can be tough. Like, this is a chance to see them against a tough playoff tested Tennessee team. They'd been to a conference finals at that point, I believe. Like, and they went out and they smoked them and they dominated them. So I think it's a good chance to see the Eagles against a physical team, a playoff-tested team, a team that's been, you know, competing in a really tough AFC. So excited to see how this one plays out. Now, how can they win the game? We're going to get into that on the other side with five key matchups for the Eagles to go against and beat the Baltimore Ravens. But first, a word from our sponsors. So we got into some of these matchups during our kind of breakdown of the offensive defense, but I want to key in on five key matchups for the Eagles to win this game. So let's start off on the defensive side of the ball with Josh Sweat against Ronnie Stanley. So first, crazy fact, and maybe you guys all knew this and I've just been living under a rock, certainly possible, but isn't it wild Josh Sweat is eighth all time in Eagles sacks? You know, I told that to Ruben Frank of NBC Sports and, you know, someone that knows more about the Eagles probably than anybody else walking this earth. And, you know, he brought up, well, the Eagles haven't had great edge rushers. And that probably is true. But still, like, we don't look at Josh Sweat, I think, as a top 10 Eagles defensive lineman of all time. And I know sacks are not the only way to indicate that. But, man, as a fourth round pick, he certainly has turned into a hit for Howie. And even this year, I think he's been better than his numbers indicate. Now, he did leave the game with a bit of an ankle injury last week, but the expectation is obviously he'll be out there on Sunday. So if he plays, and assuming he will, barring any setback, Josh Sweat versus Ronnie Stanley. So Sweat, now with Brandon Graham gone, is clearly this team's best edge rusher. He's the one they need to rely on to get pressure. And getting pressure on Lamar obviously is huge. Not only is it getting into the pocket, forcing Lamar to kind of abandon the passing game, but also like containing him. Like, make sure you stay when you do rush with, rush in your lane. Like, make sure you're not getting too close where Lamar can get wide. Like, make sure you are rushing in your lane and make sure that you don't let Lamar escape the pocket easily. So I think Josh Sweat versus Ronnie Stanley. Ronnie Stanley is their best tackle. As I said, Nolan Smith versus Roden Garden is also a matchup I think the Eagles need to take advantage of. But if Josh Sweat can beat Ronnie Stanley consistently, that's a good sign for this Eagles defense. Number two, Jordan Davis versus Derrick Henry. It's time. Like, this is it. This is it for Jordan Davis. Not because he's a good contributing part of the team. He's an NFL player. He's a good locker room guy. Jordan Davis is not a quote-unquote bust in the way that he can't play in the NFL. Like, we've seen busts that can't play in the NFL. But if Jordan Davis is going to be worth that top 15 pick, then in games like this, he has to be a difference maker. This game is not about a quarterback dropping back 45 times and getting him out of the pocket. This game's about stopping Derrick Henry. There are few people walking this earth that can say they are big enough to deal with an oncoming Derrick Henry. And I'm not saying Jordan Davis can, but he certainly has the size to do it. And his whole thing, if he's going to be an impact player, has to be being the reason that opposing teams can't run the ball against the Eagles. And this week, that is obviously a massive key going against Derrick Henry. So this is a big one for Jordan Davis. He's got to go out there. He's got to make plays. He's got to be the reason Baltimore doesn't run the ball a ton. He will probably play a lot of snaps considering they will be in obvious run situations. And it's up to Jordan Davis to go out there and be a difference maker. So I'm excited to see what Jordan Davis can do. I really think this could be a great game for him, but he is absolutely a key in this game. It isn't often we have Jordan Davis as a major key in a game, but this is one of them. Next up, Isaiah Rodgers versus Rashad Bateman. As I mentioned, obviously it looks like Darius Slay is not going to play, or at least it's unclear at this point, which means Isaiah Rodgers will be out there. I don't think Rashad Bateman is some outstanding receiver, but he is able to get down the field. We saw that against the Chargers when he had a deep touchdown, and that's what they like to do. They like to throw the ball down the field. They like to take chances down the field. They like to move the ball in chunks. They don't like to dink and dunk the ball down the field. So it's up to Isaiah Rodgers to make sure Rashad Bateman does not beat this team deep, which he has the ability to do. He has the speed that play against the Chargers. You see it. Like, he's good at tracking the ball in the air. So I do think that this is a big one for Isaiah Rodgers. He has to go out there. Look, he can earn himself a lot of money too. Like, if he goes out there and has a good game in this spot, I think you'll see him as a free agent get more interest than he probably would right now. But Isaiah Rodgers filling in for Bateman is a big one. I think we expect Quinyon to play well. I would expect the Ravens to try to get Bateman matched up against Isaiah Rodgers. I just think that's the matchup they'll seek out. But yeah, big game for Quinyon too. Like, they can't get beat deep. That's the key. Don't get beat deep. Get beat deep against this Baltimore defense. Sorry, I know it's unappealing that I'm coughing. I apologize. Next up, Cam Jurgens versus the aforementioned Ravens defensive tackle, Matt Ibuki. I apologize for this pronunciation. I'm trying. It's not a lack of effort. I apologize. He's really their best defensive lineman overall. He gets pressure, as I mentioned, the third most for defensive tackles. He's just very good at getting after the quarterback. So It's going to be up to, I put Juergens, like obviously Mekhi Becton will be part of that. Landon Dickerson will be part of it. It wouldn't surprise me if they double teamed him, but keeping the pocket clean for Jalen up the middle is obviously a huge key. And that starts with the Eagles' interior offensive line. All right, last key matchup, AJ Brown versus Marlon Humphrey. You expect AJ to win every matchup he goes up against, but with Devontae Smith out, it's, you know, they're going to try to take away AJ. They're probably going to bracket him. They're going to make sure he can't go deep. Like, it's going to be tough for AJ. So winning his matchup against Marlon Humphrey is a big one. Now, on the opposite side, Jahan Dotson has a good matchup against the Ravens' number two corner. And then obviously you'll see Johnny Wilson out there on running downs, and Britton Covey. Wouldn't surprise me if he got a target or two. So, but the Eagles, skill players, especially receivers, need to win against the Baltimore back seven, because their back seven is not great. And I think that's it, that if they're able to run the ball and then also Jalen gets time in the pocket, you could see another 30-point day from this Eagles offense. So that'll do it for this pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. It means the world to me, as I always say, that you guys take the time out of your busy day to listen to this. I hope as you're listening to this, maybe you have Christmas music on in the background, my voice over Christmas music. That's probably a combination nobody wants to hear, but man, it is a great time of the year. So hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you very much enjoyed Christmas. I love you all. And as always, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.